Lesson number 10, Christ's Counsels Before the Close of Probation. Now this counsel is to his family, to his church. These are the last statements that he gives to us as he looks to the end of time and would tell his children the things that they should remember so as to be able to face the crisis before them. We are told that these events will take place speedily, that they will be rapid, that the church will be surprised with the rapidity at which things will happen. It will come quickly when we are least expecting it. What does this tell us? Christ said, "Be ye also ready." That time will be too late to start getting ready. So this lesson is an emphasis on being ready. Part number one, focus on Christ, but not on the crisis. The illustrations given here are of Enoch. Enoch did not know when he was to be translated. If he knew that he was going to be translated. We are living today. We don't know whether we're going to be translated. We may hope that we will be translated. Some of us may feel that we'd just as rather be asleep and not have to go through all this terrible trouble. God knows He is going to put some people to sleep. Blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. But he was ready, and when God took him, suddenly, unexpectedly, he was ready to go. The second illustration is of Moses. Time of the Exodus, Moses was called to be the leader. He looked to God. He trusted in him. Moses did not merely think of God. He saw him in his mind eye, and the little cave in which he lived, which was his brain, his mind. God was his constant vision. He never lost sight of his face. He saw Jesus as his Savior. He believed that the Savior's merits would be imputed to him. This faith was to Moses no guesswork. It was a reality. This is the kind of faith we need. Faith that will endure the test. What a wonderful picture of the inner life of Moses. Testimonies, Volume 5, 652. No wonder he saw the one who was invisible. Such a reality. All the jobs he did, all the encounters he made, all the journey he was taking, his mind darted to Savior, who was a living person. Part number two. The cross is central to final events. The cross. The cross is the climax of the life of Christ. He lived so that he could face the second death unafraid. We are not called upon to face the second death. Our death in human life is the anesthetic death that gives us rest. Christ died to pay the penalty, and his death laid the foundation of his resurrection, because it was a perfect life, his ascension, his ministry, and made possible his return. The lesson brings out that in the New Testament, these ages are called the last days. And the idea is suggested that the last days were inaugurated by Christ's death. More importantly, by his resurrection. Because if he had died and remained dead, we would of all men been most miserable. But every generation has a last day. The flood, Exodus, exile, coming of the Messiah, death of the Messiah, 2300 days. There is a last day of all the last days. And we believe that after the 2300 years were fulfilled, that we are in the final last days. The Holy Spirit was said to have been poured out in these last days. But the Holy Spirit was only a partial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As Peter quoted Joel, he said, "I will pour out of my Spirit." It's a partitive, partial genitive. The final outpouring is to be in the last days. After the events of the sun and the moon and the stars and the Lisbon earthquake and the end of the 1798 year period, 1260, 1290, from that time, we are living in the end of time, the last days, the time of the end. Every period has had some important part of salvation history to fulfill. When Jesus died on the cross, he says, "It's finished." When Jesus completes the investigative judgment, a great voice from heaven will say, "It is done." When he creates the new heavens and the new earth in Revelation 21, he will say, "It is done." On Calvary, Christ finished his atoning death. Through the cleansing of the sanctuary, he will finish the merits of the atonement as applied to his people, enabling them to be perfect in the judgment. Each phase is finished by the author and finisher of our faith. Part number 3. Spiritualism. Another sign of the end is the rise of spiritualism. Spiritualism is devilism. The dragon, the devil, is wroth. He knows that he has a short time and he wants to finish it quickly. And as God's gospel is calling all the world to worship Christ, the devil is calling paganism, spiritualism, spirit worship, apostate Protestantism, and the medieval papal church. He is calling this threefold union in opposition to God's call. He is using every means at his disposal. Miracles, tongues, all kinds of popular appeals to gather together his army of people, while the everlasting gospel is sounding in all the world to gather God's people. Part number 4. Satan's counterfeit. Satan has always had counterfeits. Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. There were false prophets in the time of Jeremiah. There were false prophets in the time of the apostles. And these sorcerers in Egypt could replicate things that Moses did, and there will be replication of things that God will do. At the time of Abel, Elijah, Gideon, sanctuary, Pentecost, when God's people had fire come down from heaven to accept their offerings on Mount Carmel, the false prophets tried to get fire to come down from heaven. So So there is a right fire and a wrong fire. Satan will bring counterfeits to all that God is trying to do in these last days. In fact, he will make it appear that Christ has come in person. These counterfeits are going to be a strong, overmastering delusion. Let us compare every religious manifestation today with the Bible. And if there are not two or three witnesses supporting them, throw them out. Part number five. God is going to have a final invitation to his people to come out, to separate themselves from all the delusive elements in the world at the present time. And his final invitation is given by the three angels of Revelation 14, with then a last minute call in Revelation 18. Babylon is fallen, but the worshippers in Babylon don't believe so. The whole world is wandering after Babylon. In God's sight, Babylon is fallen. Therefore, it behooves us to make sure that we are not drunk with the wine of Babylonian assumptions, conclusions, traditions, and teachings. Part number six. Satan is marshaling his host. That's what he's doing. He is trying to get everyone that he can under his delusion. Around the world, we will see religious movements that work miracles to cure disease. They will attribute their power to electricity, magnetism, sympathetic remedies. They are but channels for Satan's electric currents. By this means, he casts his spell over the bodies and souls of men. It is the lying wonders of the devil that will take the world captive. It is therefore incumbent upon us to pray for light and insight that we be not deceived.